And so we come at last, after a many, many weeks long journey through Lent, to Palm Sunday, the Lord's Passion, to the sacred week that's called Holy Week, the most important sacred week of the year for us as Christians. And we come to this point with Catholic Christians all around the world today. So in churches everywhere across the globe, we're gathering just like right now with branches in hand, and we are singing shouts of Hosanna, which means come and save us. For the world is trying to, in earnest, fervent prayer, once again usher in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So today is an important, important day for all of us in so many ways. It's good to gather here today. It's good to be here. Curiously enough, I mentioned this last Mass, too, of the four gospel writers who write about the entry into Jerusalem. They all four talk about it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Of the four, the one we hear this year, Luke, is the only one that does not mention any branches or the word Hosanna, which is really kind of funny. He has other things he wants to talk about, but nonetheless, they're deeply part of the gospel tradition, so we know that they happened. But Luke does want this to be clear in terms of how he explains this entry, and also, as we hear his passion later on in this Mass, that the one coming to Jerusalem that we commemorate this day comes as a king. He comes as a king and really as a prophet, too. He is visiting his own city. He's visiting the holy city, as the prophets have done for centuries and centuries. So he comes bringing God's word, he comes bringing God's message, and he comes with a message of peace, as we heard in the gospel. Peace to those on earth, echoing the angel's cry at the birth of the Savior in the same gospel. So he comes, right? And he comes as a king. We know that as the week goes on here, we're going to wrap our minds around the fact that while he came as a king with a kind of triumphal entry, the city did not accept him. It rejects its own king. It rejects the greatest prophet ever, as they rejected the prophets for all time. They do it over and over again. And indeed, after the scene, Jesus weeps over the city, knowing that they're going to turn away from him. So much does he love him, them. As Luke tells the story, wants us to know anyway, the king comes, the city rejects him, and the consequence is that probably three decades or so later, the city is going to get destroyed. The ruins will come and destroy the entire place. So there are consequences for a world that fails to accept the message of God that comes among us. Is this the end of the story? No, because as Luke will also make very clear in his gospel, even more than the other three writers, Jesus forgives those who attack him. Today we hear him forgive from the cross. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. Only Luke includes that beautiful, important line. So in spite of humanity's constant rejections, in spite of our constant hard-heartedness, what does God do? He affords us mercy over and over and over again. What is it that led to their rejection of their king? How do we start on such a high note with hosannas and branches and the other gospels anyway, and these cries of acclamation only to end with rejection? We can only speculate, but I think it went something like this. To cry out Hosanna, like the crowds do, is to acknowledge the need for a Savior. Come and save us. Come and save us. It's a joyful cry of need and of celebration all at the same time. And I suspect that the crowds who welcomed him that day, who were coming in from the country, who watched this traveling preacher from Galilee for weeks now at this point, coming for Passover, they had in their minds that this guy on the donkey was going to be the king who was going to usher in a new era in the city. He was going to have a force, a military perhaps. He was going to usher in David's new dynasty. He was going to be a political powerhouse. That was their idea. For them, Messiah meant conquer, it meant general, it meant ruler, it meant a domination. It meant the establishment of a whole new order that would throw off the Romans and usher in a whole new era of glory for the temple and for their nation in a kind of earthly, mighty manner. That's what they were crying out Hosanna for. Come and save us from our occupiers. Save us from all that is wrong. Save us right now on our terms as we expect it. As the week goes on, as Holy Week goes on, as Good Friday approaches, they're going to realize that he's not what they thought. He is not a general. He has no army in the way that we often think. He doesn't come to establish a dynasty or some political state. He's not going to be an authoritarian ruler or some dominating force, no. He comes on a donkey, not a horse, so not a war animal. He comes bringing mercy, he comes bringing peace, he comes in submission, he comes proposing, not forcing, he comes to get rejected, he comes to be sidelined, he comes to be marginalized. And I think as time passes, the crowds say, we don't like this guy, off with him. He's not what we wanted, he's not what we're looking for. We want this now, not on his terms, this unattractive, uninteresting, frankly weak person. Somebody else, out of the next Messiah candidate they're going to go. I think if we understand the dynamic for what it is, maybe we can situate ourselves in a similar spot this year in 2022. I don't know about you, maybe it's true. But in terms of the world today, it's hard. There are conflicts out there, near and far. Perhaps we come to Holy Week this year, crying Hosanna to come and save us, save our world, save people that we know who are ill, save people who are in trouble, save my family, save our world. We think about the Ukrainians, we think about the awful mess in Eastern Europe, we think about tragedies around the world. And I think what we want is what those crowds wanted. We want God to come in and intervene, like right now. Why can't you just fix this? Why can't you just put things to the side? Why can't you establish a Christian empire, some new Christian state, and stop Putin, or stop this, or stop that? Why can't you bring down our gas prices? What kind of Messiah are you? Okay, what's the point? We want it right now, on our time and on our terms. And the danger, I think, is to become disillusioned with this Messiah, just as they were in Jerusalem once upon a time, and realize it's not like we think it's going to be. How does God change the world? One heart at a time and one Holy Week at a time. It takes forever, centuries and centuries. So he comes over and over again, right? Small, humble, low, on a donkey, getting rejected, getting nailed to wood, so that he can woo our hearts and melt our hearts to realize he's not going to force us to follow him. He is not a dictator. He's not an autocrat. He is not a forceful monarch. Our God believes in our freedom above all else. And so he says to us every single Holy Week and every single year and every single day, you have to choose me. I can't speed this up. There's no quickly ending the conflicts or messes in your lives. It's only going to work as the world more and more and more realizes who I am and who my followers must be. People of humility, of gentleness, of mercy from our own crosses, from our own wood that we're nailed to, people who give ourselves over, people who preach peace, people whose hearts are softened. That changes the world one person at a time. It will not be, God says, on your timeline. It'll be on mine and on my terms. It's maddening, isn't it, on one level? But it is the way of faith. It's the way of the church for 2,000 years, to preach a different kind of gospel, a different kind of king, a different kind of world order that comes not through weapons, but through the cross and the resurrection of our Lord. So I think, long story short, as we hit Holy Week 2022, with all that's on our minds and hearts this day, we pick up our palms and take them home. You know, picking up the palm is an act of us saying to our Lord, I promise to let you be a king over me in a different kind of way. And I promise not to get disillusioned if it doesn't go fast enough. I promise to hang on to faith when it doesn't go my way. I promise to understand, Lord God, that you come to melt my heart, that it must be humble like you are humble, small like you are humble. I pick up my palm and I say, I follow a different kind of king, a different kind of ruler. I'm going to follow you, Lord God, all the way to the end. So we begin it today. As our solemn, beautiful week unfolds ahead of us, we say, Lord, I'll follow you all the way through the week, all the way to the cross, to the tomb, and to the glory of the new life of transformation that the gospel brings, and only the gospel can bring. That's our promise. That's our pledge to our very different kind of king. No?